It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Tom Petzinger from the 90.5 WESA Board of Directors, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer today. Pittsburgh established its reputation and its economy on manufacturing. The collapse of the steel industry led to a municipal reinvention led by technology, healthcare, and higher education. But does the transition from manufacturing to technology allow the city now to compete in biotechnology? We're posing this question today to Christian Manders, a life sciences entrepreneur and CEO of Promethean Life Sciences. Christian Manders, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Christian, I'll put it to you directly. Could biotechnology become to 21st century Pittsburgh what steel was to 20th century Pittsburgh?
I would say yes, probably not to the degree that it was for steel, but if you look at the statistics with employment in the region, it's already there. It's already happening with eds and meds, and education and medicine. Life sciences is a part of that. The hospitals definitely drive the employment locally, but life sciences is sort of catching on and part of the education and medical sectors, which are really driving the economy locally.
When we talk about life sciences, do you consider it synonymous with biotechnology? Is one a subset of the other? How do you classify this commercial business activity that we call biotech?
I think biotech is a little more, probably a more specific subset of the life sciences sector. So life sciences can include medical device technologies. Biotech is often sort of more specific manipulation of the genome and actually manipulating molecules and cells, whereas sort of life sciences can cover a lot more, and also sort of industrial applications as well, using sort of technologies within the life sciences sector.
Well, tell me where your company and your background fit into this classification. Are you a drug company, a device company? What is Promethean?
That's a great question. In fact, it's a little difficult to describe because our company Promethean is, we're actually skin bankers. We process allograft skin, which is actually skin that's donated from tissue donors.
Allograft meaning from another person.
Yes. Allograft skin has been used for a long time and is sort of the gold standard for treating burns and big open injuries where you've lost skin. The burn centers in town or sort of a lot of the trauma centers in town utilize allograft skin to both prevent infection, spur healing, close the wound temporarily so that you can actually treat it. And what people don't realize is often burns, it's not the actual thermal injury that can be the biggest problem, but it's the metabolic loss that happens when you actually lose the outer layer of your skin. So if you've ever been at the beach and gotten a sunburn, you get dehydrated really easily and you also get cold. And that's all because that outer layer of skin is the vapor barrier and you're losing fluids and proteins through the loss of the epidermis. And so our graft will actually cover the wound and prevent the metabolic loss, allow the healing to take place, and also buy a surgeon time to figure out what they want to do in terms of treating the wound.
Skin is just our exterior barrier, but biology is complicated. There's a lot more than meets the eye. Do I understand correctly that your products have been used in the battlefield as well?
They have. They've actually been used in Iraq, Afghanistan, on the floating hospital ships, Landstuhl Air Force Base, hotspot embassies throughout the world. The beauty of our grafts are you can actually store them at room temperature, ambient temperature. They're pre-hydrated and they're sterile. So it's almost like a heavy-duty Band-Aid. You can actually just peel open the pouch and put our graft right on in an open wound.
So the way you describe it, this is clearly a product. It's a product in the market. I assume it's FDA approved.
It is.
And you've been through that whole development and regulatory process to have a business selling a product to prescribers who are using it. How did it get to that point, and why is this business in Pittsburgh? What is the relevance of Promethean to Pittsburgh?
I like to say, well, I got into the business because I majored in history with a minor in nepotism, or it might be the other. I might have majored in nepotism. My father's a plastic surgeon at the University of Pittsburgh and has actually developed a number of products, including the soft tissue expander to reconstruct the breast after mastectomy. And so he's been a very successful medical device inventor. And I was in college and he said, hey, why don't you move back? At the time, it was Hershey, Pennsylvania, where my father was working and I was from. And he said, move back and help get this going. And I initially said, no, you know, I had a job lined up and I wasn't that interested. But a friend of mine actually said, look, you got to do this and I'm going to come with you. That friend ended up getting into NYU Film School and is now a very successful Emmy Award-winning TV producer.
You made a different choice, but that's okay.
But
we're glad you're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but so my dad ended up switching jobs and going from the Hershey Medical Center to the University of Pittsburgh. And University of Pittsburgh, people don't know this, the Pitt Plastic Surgery Department is actually the largest training program in the U.S. for plastic surgery and very highly regarded. So my dad made the shift to Pitt, and Pittsburgh also is sort of one of the centers of transplant medicine in the world and probably the sort of originator of a lot of the modern transplant techniques, all through Thomas Starzl and the transplant center at Pitt. So in order to actually have organs to transplant, they had to develop a great organ procurement organization, CORE. And so we started working with CORE and helping them develop a skin recovery program.
So the presence of a major university center with expertise in surgery leads to a regional asset that enables the development of private companies, commercial products, and jobs in the economy.
Absolutely.
And what other resources does the region have? And while we're at it, what kind of resources does the region lack? Sometimes you hear a comparison to great biotech cities like Boston or the San Francisco Bay Area as regions that Pittsburgh can aspire to. What do we have besides these great surgery centers, and what do we lack?
Sure. It's tough when you compare us to Boston or Silicon Valley or even Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a huge biotech and pharma hub. But I think we can actually become a much better version of ourselves, and we have a strong base to start from. We're actually, University of Pittsburgh ranked fifth nationally in R&D spending. There's over $700 million a year in the life sciences R&D in the Pittsburgh area. I think statistics from the Pittsburgh Tech Council, there are over 107,000 jobs in the health services subsector, which is a lot of the hospital area. But there are also over 15,000 jobs in the life sciences, sort of the industry that's spun off from the universities and also the hospital systems. So we have incredible basic science research. Also, you couple that with Carnegie Mellon and the world-class computer talent that's there. There are very few places in the world that have essentially $1 billion in basic science research and also some of the world's best computing talent. And a lot of the life sciences sector is moving towards sort of the more computational to, again, sort of the big data model of you now are able to get a lot of data to try to figure out what is causing certain diseases or how to attack disease states and how you actually handle that data and sort it and make it useful is a real issue for a lot of companies.
So having a leading institution receiving federal funds for biomedical research, Pitt, a leading institution in computer and information sciences, Carnegie Mellon, and these two different fields converging would seem to position the region beautifully to emerge as an important center.
That's right. That's right. I think we've actually underperformed to a degree, but I think this is going to be changing. And I've seen there's sort of an inflection point right now in the region with Chancellor Gallagher at Pitt and President Suresh at CMU. President Suresh is from the NSF, the National Science Foundation, and Chancellor Gallagher is for NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Testing. And both those groups basically gave big grants, but a lot of it was working with industry to try to solve specific problems. And I think where we failed in the past and recent past is to have the academic centers and industry working together collaboratively to get things actually pushed out onto the market as products.
You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Tom Petzinger, 90.5 WESA board member, in for Paul Guggenheimer. Today, we're talking about whether Pittsburgh has what it takes to build a major biotech industry to become another Boston, another Bay Area in the life sciences. And we're talking to my guest, Christian Manders. What about money, Christian? You talked about all the federal funds and the grants flowing into Pitt and Carnegie Mellon University. But of course, the universities don't pay for products to be developed. They pay, I assume, for research to be done. And it's up to entrepreneurs like you, like your father, like others, to create products and companies and jobs. Where's the money come from?
That's a great question. In terms of the inflection point that I've talked about a little earlier, we're starting to see a lot more seasoned management talent come to town. In fact, you've brought some great talent to town with Knopp Biosciences. Michael Bozek, your CEO, who's coming out of the farm industry. You look at Neil Campbell from Holomics. This is a person with an incredible track record who's built a lot of companies, had exits and made people money and done very well and built a network he can rely on to raise more money and bring money into town. So I'm really seeing there's truly a sort of more seasoned group of executives coming into town in the last 2 to 3 years. Dietrich Stefan, who's the new head of genetics at Pitt, has co-founded 5 to 7 companies in Silicon Valley, raised tens of millions of dollars, had a number of exits. He has a network in Silicon Valley where he can help raise money. But you're right. This is raising money and bringing money into the region to actually support the growth of these companies, which actually take a lot of money to get products approved and on the market. It's a pretty daunting task to get things through the FDA and getting them approved to have reimbursement for these products.
You mentioned that talent and recruiting talent to town. Is there a push in this industry nationally or locally to see that women and minorities are represented? These are obviously well-paying positions. They're very important, huge amount of education involved. What's your take on the diversity in the biotech sector?
We could do a better job, unfortunately. There is a group in town, Women in Bio. Babs Carrier is the head of the local chapter. She's at University of Pittsburgh Innovation Institute, and they're doing a lot of great things in terms of supporting women, from researchers to people in support services, people working with companies, entrepreneurs, helping them try to raise money. One of the ways that Pittsburgh is addressing this problem is they have the Pittsburgh Science and Technology Academy through the Pittsburgh Public Schools. It's a magnet school that is addressing the STEM education. Enrollment has a lot of minorities, and it's right in the middle of Pitt's campus. It's an incredible school. I highly advise people to check it out and learn more. Have your kids apply. It's very hard to get into, but it's a great asset for the region. There's also the Citizen Science Lab, which is part of the KIZ zone in the Central Business District, and that's run by Urban Innovations 21. And the Citizen Science Lab is educating a lot of students through different school programs across the region. And they also have a wet lab that anyone can join and pay a monthly fee to access laboratory facilities that would be very expensive to buy on your own. But through the aggregate, you can pay a small fee and have access to a lot of really great resources. But this is not just a Pittsburgh issue. This is actually sort of a broader issue in the sector in general. But Pittsburgh does acutely feel this, and I think minorities as well. I think we could do a better job. And you'll see more minorities, I think, on the research side and sort of getting them tracked in to the entrepreneurship and helping them to build companies is something that the University of Pittsburgh is doing a lot with, CMU as well. There are a lot of support services, the Life Sciences Greenhouse in town, Innovation Works. So there are a lot of key groups that will help support entrepreneurs. But we got to keep fighting the good fight.
You are fighting that fight in our community, as near as I can tell, by being a leader in the life sciences community. You know, a community doesn't realize it exists until someone calls attention to the fact and says, hey, we are a community. There's a group of people in this area that have an affinity. They're like-minded. They're involved in the same thing. I've been told that you have a periodic breakfast meeting of the biotech community in the Strip District. What's that about?
It's called the Pittsburgh Biomedical Breakfast, and we meet every Tuesday at Marty's Market. And it's very informal, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Tuesday, unless it's a national holiday. It's really, like you said, a community. It's very informal networking. It's trying to let people get to know one another so that if an idea comes about or an opportunity, you might know the right person to plug into that, or you can draw on their networks to help advance some of the research or projects you're working on. But I noticed that we weren't doing a good job working together, and people just didn't even know one another. So this breakfast meeting, where we also usually have once a month, we have a VIP speaker, and once a quarter, we try to have that VIP speaker come from outside of Pittsburgh. So we've drawn some great guests from the finance sector, CEOs, researchers who've come to town, surgeons as well, and we let them actually typically talk about whatever they want. Often that's fundraising, how they built a company, what some of the hurdles are, what they've learned on product development, design, and it's been a great way to sort of bring together very disparate groups, because each one of those sectors, sort of the smaller, medium, and large companies, is almost siloed as well, and we're not getting enough interaction between the smaller and the big companies, because the big companies actually have an incredible amount of resources and just sort of general knowledge. And often you'll get a number of seasoned executives in those companies who are often looking to, you know, possibly lead a new startup company.
The knowledge, the technology, the talent, the networking, I appreciate how important all that is. But before we let you go, I want to come back once more to the question of money. When you're taking a technology from the university, as you did, in that interval of time before it's a product, before you can get revenue for it, you're burning money, correct? And you're
burning up
money with things like clinical trials and regulatory filings that are very expensive. Where has it been from local investors, out-of-town investors? Where has the money come from to build the local biotech community? Is it enough? And where is it going to come from in the future?
Great question. A lot of it actually has come from the local community, although it's starting to branch out. One of the things we're lacking is we haven't had a huge payday where one of the local companies has really made a lot of money for investors, local investors. And I think we're going to have some. It's just biding our time a little bit. But I think when that happens, it's going to sort of refill the investment capital pools for a lot of the local investors, and you're going to see a lot more investment. But a lot of the companies, and where I'm talking about sort of little more seasoned entrepreneurs, they're tapping into their networks outside of the region. They're going to Boston, they're going to Philadelphia, New York, Silicon Valley. And one of the good things about Pittsburgh is our deals are actually substantially cheaper usually than a lot of deals in other cities. And it's not that our technology is worse. Often our technology is better. It's that there aren't as many people who are sort of looking at the deals necessarily. And again, we haven't had the really high profile CEOs who, you know, often people will just back a CEO regardless of what project they're working on. They have so much confidence in the team. And I think we're starting to see some of those teams come into town. And I think we're actually going to have some very big wins in the near future. One of the ways we're building these teams is the Tech Council recently spun off a nonprofit group called 40 by 80. And Julian Scranton is running that. And that is helping to leverage the talent in town to attract more capital from outside the region and also build the talent pool in town. And it's very exciting. 40 by 80 actually refers to the sort of latitude, basic latitude and longitude of Pittsburgh. But they've helped people take trips to areas where there's a lot more capital, such as Boston and San Francisco for the life sciences, also New York and Philadelphia. And they've worked with people in advanced manufacturing, as well as people in the sort of tech sector to help them go out and raise money and also just sort of be more sophisticated in how they approach and build their companies.
Well, things are certainly hot on Wall Street in the biotech community, which is, of course, one of the reasons we're interested in creating this community here in Pittsburgh and bringing the action here. Christian Manders, we appreciate your coming in and talking about biotech in Pittsburgh. Best of luck with Promethean and all your other activities.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Tom.
Our look at biotech in Pittsburgh continues after the break. I'm Tom Petzinger, in for Paul Guggenheim. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.